It seems like just yesterday that Los Angeles was lifting basketball's most coveted prize, and since then we've had the draft, trades, free agency, and luckily for us sports fans, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is here to kick off the 2021 basketball season with a no-brainer for all customers, new and existing. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. To celebrate the return of basketball, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you a plus 75-point spread on the team of your choice on opening night. That's right. All you have to do is bet on any opening night game, and if your team doesn't lose by more than 75 points, you will double your money. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code MHS when you sign up to get a plus 75-point spread on opening night for a shot to double your money. That's code MHS to get a shot at doubling your money on opening night for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Here's another place you should go, Sasquatch and Wildcard Casino. Today, we are giving away $200 in slot play. First four callers are going to get $50 each. If you have won in the past, you are not eligible to win again. And while you're up there, whether you win or not, boy, I'd head on up there. Here's the reason why. They're giving away a Hagelin truck or $22,222 in cash. A Hagelin truck is a very cool vehicle. It's a truck with tracks. You got to see this to believe it. They're giving that away on January 17th, and we are giving away slot play cards. First four callers, second hour of the show, $50 each. If you won in the past, again, you are not eligible to win. Mace, how are you?
I'm doing all right, and I'm thankful I'm upright when I walked into the studio because on the icy asphalt in the parking lot here outside the Palatial Mile High Sports Radio Studios, I nearly did a face plant.
Well, you should have been driving a Hagelin truck. You would have been fine. It's a truck with tracks.
Yeah.
Maybe you should head on up to Sasquatch.
Maybe. Of course, the problem
is... Did you go face down, face forward?
I was going face forward, and I had to brace myself against the car, put my arm out.
Did you slam your face?
No, I nearly face planted.
Scares you, doesn't it?
Oh, it did. Well, and also, my poor father, 31 years ago.
Was he outside the car with you?
No.
Oh, I thought you were going to make
But 31 years ago, it was a cold, icy night in Richmond, Virginia, and he slipped, and he put his arm out. And all his weight landed on his arm, and he basically shattered his forearm to the point where even to this day, he's never regained kind of full function. I mean, he can type and do everything he needs to, but he's always had weakness in that arm because of that injury. And so for a while, I used to think, okay, if I ever slip and fall on ice, try to land on my shoulder. It's a lot better and can bear a lot more weight than the arm. But today... I reached out my arm on a car, and I was lucky, but I do hate this time of year because of the icy asphalt. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm good. Well, you know, when it comes to a situation like that, you might have a great plan to land on your shoulder, mm-hmm. Nate Solder.
Yes.
You might have a great plan to land on your shoulder, but in the moment, you don't have time to think about, hey, I'll just land on my shoulder.
It's instinct, right? It's whatever is ingrained in you, something that we've talked about a lot with Drew Lock over the last year or so. Some of his instincts aren't always the best. He's got to get to where his instincts include proper fundamentals and decision making.
Time now for the lead.
The Lead is presented by Home 303. Stop paying too much in realtor fees. It's 1% to list, and you'll get 1% back of your purchase price when you buy. Go to home303.com, the home of the 1% program.
Is it fair to say that if you take away the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, in which he got injured, talking about Drew Lock, basically on the first or second series, so in the first quarter, he's really only started 14 games. Is it fair to say that?
I mean, he started 15, but he's only played 14 full games.
Is it fair to say, if we're not going to, mess with it, he has played 14 games in his career.
Right. The one thing I will say is that he does have 479 pass attempts to this point. So all he needs is one on Saturday to where he's averaging 30 per game. So we're at the point now where we've got an appreciable sample size.
With that, what's more important for a quarterback? Not for every other position on the field. What's more important for a quarterback? Number of games played, meaning starts. I'm not talking about mop-up duty. So we can call it starts or games played. What's more important, years in the league or actual games played?
Actual games played.
I agree.
Although one thing is that if it takes you 4 years to play those 16 games,
true.
Unless you've been in a position where you're just behind a veteran, you're biding time.
Right.
It usually, like Brock Osweiler, he had to wait because Peyton Manning was here. But if it takes you that long to play 16 games, it generally does not augur well for success.
I would agree. So now, as I'm trying to narrow down our focus and our scope of where this conversation is going to go, I would say, generally speaking, anything before 1999 would not be a fair way to evaluate a quarterback in terms of a comparison to today's player. Or do you have another year in mind?
Well, I would say even going back to 1999, you have to adjust for the era in which
that's
the quarterback
what I mean.
Is in.
That's what I'm referring to.
And that's, but even if we're talking about, say, 2008, I think you have to adjust for that because things have changed dramatically. Even in the last 10 years, going back to 2010 to now, the standards for success have changed. I mean, you just look at the fact that an average passer rating right now is 93.
Okay.
Just 10 years ago, 93 right. puts you in the top 8 or 9 quarterbacks in the league. Now that's average.
Okay. So with that, let's look at Drew Lock's stats over the course of his career. All right. Over the course of his career, he has completed 60% of his passes, a little over 3,200 yards, 20 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, quarterback rating of 80. That's basically over 14 starts. And I know, and I'm basing this off of the conversation you and I had yesterday. I believe you're working on a story comparing him to all quarterbacks over the last 2 years.
And you have to adjust for era, basically.
Well, not over the last 2 years.
The last 2 years. But when you're going beyond that, you are adjusting for era.
Now, can make the case. Yeah. It's not fair to compare Drew Lock to Drew Brees. As an example, during his first 16 games, he completed 61% of his passes, 3,200 yards, sound familiar, 17 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, and his quarterback rating was 77.
Perfectly acceptable for a young guy in 2002.
Okay. But not for 2020.
No. Because that sort of performance nowadays puts you, unfortunately, it puts you in the bottom tier of quarterbacks. I mean, the standards have
I agree. Let's move on.
I agree. Let's move on. But real quick, just to give a comparison that Broncos fans know.
Yep.
Obviously, the standards have even changed in the last 4 or 5 seasons.
Okay.
And his numbers trail Trevor Siemian's.
I agree. How about a guy who completed 58% of his passes, 3,200 yards, 21 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, sacked 24 times, and his quarterback rating was 76? Fair to compare it to that guy in this era?
Did that guy put up those numbers in this era?
Yes. Yeah. 2014, that counts. Oh, come on. Don't parse a year on
that. There's a little bit of adjustment involved, but it's
not fair. Much.
Yeah.
That's Derek Carr. Now, I don't want to go cherry picking player by player, but I'll cherry pick with just one more. I'll cherry pick with just one more guy. And I can, and honestly, I can go on and on with guys. Although this goes back to, I don't know, 2012. Kirk Cousins wasn't particularly good in his first 14 games. My point is this. Are we rushing to judgment on Drew Lock because we see guys like Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert and Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson get off to fast starts? And if they can do it, by golly, Lock has to do it. We don't want to give this guy any time. These guys did it quickly. He better do it quickly.
Well, the thing is, you are in a more favorable environment for rapid development of the quarterback position than you ever have been.
Okay.
That's part of it. We have a better idea now early. I mean, like, people talk about Josh Allen, but Josh Allen is kind of the exception to that. There are, when you talk, look at quarterbacks.
There are more Dwayne Haskins out there.
Dwayne Haskins.
Than Josh Rosen. Allen.
Sam Darnold.
Right. That's my point.
And the and
so we're cherry picking the guys who have been great.
Right.
But we look at the other guys who haven't been as good, and there's probably a list that's double that, and say, well, he's got to be more like them.
Well, yeah.
Are we really giving Lock enough time? It's been 14 games, and you and I both agree it is more about games played for a quarterback than years in the league.
I don't think you've given him enough time as far as a shot to be the starter. What I think you have learned, though, is that you'd better have a good hedge going into next year. And you have a talented team coming back. Probably a playoff roster, wouldn't you say, based on the players coming back from injury?
Considering how they have played this year with all the guys they have missed, considering they won a game against Carolina, who's not great, I understand that. But it's a game on the road, down to their fifth, sixth, and seventh cornerback.
Yeah
pretty good.
Yeah.
An offensive line that had three reserves, and I'm sorry, Elijah Wilkinson is a reserve. He has no business starting in this league anymore.
They're just trying to find out what they have in him to make a decision on whether to bring him back or go with Calvin Anderson as a swing tackle.
That's not a decision. That is not a decision.
No, well,
it is Calvin Anderson, period. And I know Eli is loved in that locker room. Calvin Anderson's a better tackle.
I agree with you. I'm just trying to illuminate their thinking here. They want to see a little more from Elijah Wilkinson. They know that they can re-sign DeMar Dotson if need be.
I've seen enough of Elijah Wilkinson as a backup.
Look, I'm with you. I would actually rather, if they have to play somebody other than DeMar Dotson at right tackle, I would like to see Calvin Anderson the rest of the way.
Me too.
Because we found out that he can hold his own at left tackle on Sunday. We've seen now that he started one game at right tackle. Give him a couple more starts. See if he can be the swing tackle on, oh, by the way, a rookie contract. Elijah Wilkinson, going into his contract year, probably looking at $2.5 million on the market. You can probably get that cheaper from Elijah Wilkinson, but I digress.
Well, speaking of looking ahead, guess what?
Yeah.
NHL players and owners, they could find an agreement, can't they? NBA players and owners, they can find agreements on things. NFL players and owners, they found agreement on things. And gosh darn it, the baseball players and owners look like they are about to have a fist fight all over again about this season. This is becoming so annoying.
Didn't we have this discussion for months summer?
And I came out and said, I don't care if they play or not. You know what? I'm going to say it again because we're going to talk about this next. I don't care if they play or not. We'll talk about that after the break. Always knew you married well, and you look so fancy, I can tell.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to GraniteLiquidators.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Tivoli Brewing Company, Colorado's first established brewery in 1859. Get Colorado's original beer in your local liquor store or go to Tivoli in the heart of the Orrery campus.
Well, according to USA Today's Bob Nightingale, Major League Baseball looking to start the season in May. The league and the owners want the players and all team personnel to be vaccinated against COVID before arriving at spring training camp, which doesn't really seem feasible. By early to mid-February, the NHL came out with a story saying that, there was a story in the NHL that everyone's going to get the vaccine, which didn't go over well. And then the NHL, after the report, said, that's not true. We're not going to try and do that. That would be a public relations nightmare. So maybe the players could be vaccinated by March or April. I don't know if baseball is considered a necessary business, and I certainly know they're not first responders. So I don't know how quickly they would wind up getting this vaccine. Per an anonymous National League owner, according to Nightingale, quote, I think there will be significant pressure for players to get the vaccine first before they go to spring training. And if that has to be moved back to April and play 130 games, so be it. But to have 162 games and start spring training at the normal time without the players being vaccinated, that's just crazy. The union's view, according to Nightingale, it proved a year ago that teams can safely adapt to protocols. So if the MLBPA wants to play 162 games under the same health and safety guidelines as the 2020 season, well, that schedule delay isn't out of the question. Nightingale hears from multiple players that the ideal scenario would be to delay the season for everyone to get vaccinated, but to extend a month where a full season can be played with everybody still receiving, and here's the key point, their full salary. Here we go again. No prorated salary. They don't want that. I don't blame them. However, that idea is not going to fly with the league, as it would still result in massive revenue loss for teams with restricted or no fans. Plus, there isn't any desire on the league's part to stretch the postseason into late November or December. And here we go again.
Yeah, and a key line from this story that Bob Nightingale posted, it's on USAtoday.com, points out that Dr. Anthony Fauci has noted that stadiums likely will not be able to sell tickets without restrictions for sporting events until the end of the summer. So let's just kind of extrapolate that. If the vaccinations are really being widespread, say early summer, maybe even midsummer, a scenario where teams would probably be at limited capacity through, say, the All-Star break in a normal time,
right,
mid-July, and then having to recover as much revenue as possible from that point forward, delaying the season will only get you so far. Now, I mean, if they really want to try to squeeze in 162 games, I mean, there are things you can do if you are willing to push the season back even 2 months. I mean, you could have more doubleheaders, kind of like you had last year. There are ways that you could squeeze in a 162-game season that even started on June 1 and ended, the regular season ended a little bit after Halloween. There are ways to do it. They're going to have to get creative, because one thing that I have gathered is that the players, they want their 162 games of salary next year. That's a big deal.
I don't see how they're going to get it. How would you be creative? You mean moving the playoffs down to Florida and Arizona, spring training sites?
Effectively, yeah. That's what you'd have to do. Spring training sites, or, for example, if you're the Milwaukee Brewers and you get in the postseason, you have a park where you can close the roof. So you'd basically be saying, okay, it's going to be Florida, Arizona, and then and then enclosed environments for everywhere north of, say, Atlanta.
You know, you want to hear the irony in all of that? By that time, you're going to be able to have probably full stadiums.
Yes, exactly.
Yet, right? You're not going to be able to have the home games to get the revenue in which you don't pay the players in the playoffs.
And of course, the early part of the season, let's say you do start the season, let's say May 1st, let's say they delay it a month. Well, you're going to have a situation where probably, for example, in say Atlanta, Houston, Texas, that they'll probably be opening it up to 30-35% of fans, maybe even 50% by then. But you think they're going to be doing that in California or New York or Boston or Toronto? Toronto, by the way, I mean, Toronto might, the Blue Jays might have to still decamp into Dunedin, Florida, their spring training facility for a long time if there's still restrictions on going back and forth between the U.S. and Canada. Of course, the Jays had to play much of last season in Buffalo for their home games to get around that.
Right.
So there are so many complications involved with this. And given how the solution in the end last year, it ended up kind of, I mean, it worked out and they got a season in, but it felt like it was the minimum that could be done, that could be agreed upon.
Right.
They couldn't figure out 80 games. They kept delaying it. They kept pushing it back. Realistically, if they'd had their ducks in a row, they should have been able to be playing games that counted on July 1st.
It might as
and they couldn't.
Today is December 15th. It might as well be February 15th. Because right around February 15th is when the players report.
Yeah.
The pitchers and catchers report. So what do they have? They have how many months now? 2 months in order to get this done?
Yep.
They know what's on the table. And what do you want to bet we're having the same conversation on February 15th?
Yeah. And all this is in the shadow of the CBA expiring after next year.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. I mean, they had to get past this year. Now they've got to figure out next year. And oh, by the way, they've got the CBA coming in. What was interesting is, in terms of dealing with the revenue loss, one thing that has been kicked around but does not appear imminent is expansion. Two more teams at what would the going rate be? About a billion and a half a shot?
Right.
To make up for the $3 billion of lost revenue last year?
You know what I think this means as well? If it's another shortened season,
yeah,
more lost revenue.
Mm-hmm.
We knew this is coming anyway in some ways. Nolan Arenado is going to be a Rocky throughout his contract.
Yes. Because they're not going to be able to trade that deal and Nolan is not going to opt out of it, because why would you opt out from that kind of money?
Right. I mean, I know he wants to win.
Yes.
But the point is, if he does opt out after this season with all of that revenue loss, no one's going to be able to offer him that type of money. You know who else this affects? Is Trevor Story, who's about to become a free agent after this season, and Lindor, and the rest of the terrific shortstops who will be expecting big deals, and they're not going to be able to get those deals.
Well, what's interesting is that you even see an environment right now where you have some high revenue teams that are cutting back. Like, example, the Philadelphia Phillies. You know, they're not in the Yankee Dodger class of revenue, but they're in the top 5 to 6 teams in revenue. They should be able to afford whatever they want. Look at the contract they gave Bryce Harper.
Right.
A couple of years back. Every indication is they're not going to re-sign JP Realmuto, their outstanding catcher, because they can't get the money. And who's going to sign him? I mean, you're facing a scenario in this year's free agent class where a lot of guys take one-year deals, and the market may not be any better next year if you're looking at a bunch of the season being cut off and losing more revenue because of COVID. I mean, it's a nightmarish situation. And I think even though the expansion idea has been, at least in a couple of quarters, it's been kind of poo-pooed. I think it's something that baseball is going to come back to try to make up the shortfall here.
Yeah. All right, coming up after the break, big news out of the NBA. A lot of stars like to move around and team up and play with their friends and win championships. We have seen that really over the last 10 years. One star is staying put in a small market, and I'm guessing the NBA is thrilled about it. Who is it? And what kind of repercussions will it have throughout the NBA? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Mile High Sports Radio, milehighsports.com. Afternoon Drive, Goodman and Mason. Thanks for watching on milehighsports.com. If you want to reach us on the Twitter feed, the Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, you can find Eric Goodman at Eric Goodman, me, Andrew Mason at Mace Denver.
All right, time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda. Get to Silter Har in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silter Har Mazda, or find them at sthmazda.com.
I would be remiss if I did not tip my cap to Danny Bailey behind the glass for a wonderful choice of bumper music leading into this segment.
I try.
What was it? I missed it.
Money by Pink Floyd.
Nice. Very, very nice.
Very apt.
Well, Danny's good at that stuff.
Yes, he is. He's wonderful
at Danny's that. Very good at that stuff. Okay, so speaking of money, Giannis Antetokounmpo got the richest deal in NBA history. 5-year max deal, $228 million with a player option after the fourth year. So he can stay for 4 years if he wants to.
Right.
Okay, with that, how good is this for the NBA that Antetokounmpo is staying with Milwaukee, a small market team?
This is the reason why the Supermax contract existed, why it came into being in 2017. Of course, we've had the Larry Bird exception for a while, and, for example, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic here in Denver are both playing on the Larry Bird exception, but this took it to another level. It's had mixed results for the teams that have signed their players to the Supermax. Of course, Steph Curry signed a Supermax deal in Golden State,
right,
and they won a title right after that. It, you know, did not work out as well team-wise for the Rockets and James Harden on his Supermax deal. OKC signed Russell Westbrook to a Supermax deal, traded him a couple of years later. John Wall, he's been hurt for most of the time he's been on a Supermax deal. But the point of it was to give clubs another way of keeping their players together, their team together, and keeping their star players, particularly in small to medium markets, because at that point they could put together an offer that allowed that team to give more than, say, the Lakers could or the Heat could. It was, you know, a way of basically allowing these smaller market teams to use money to trump location, getting, you know, building a super team, et cetera. So it was really designed for something like this, for the Milwaukee Bucks to keep a star like Giannis. So I would say the Supermax did its job here.
Now, the Heat and Raptors are expected to be Giannis's primary suitors.
Right.
Mavs had apparently cleared cap space for next year and had the ability to pair him with, you know, Doncic.
Luka Doncic.
And Porzingis.
Yeah.
Does that make Giannis's decision much better news for the Nuggets, or is it irrelevant?
It's better news for the Nuggets just because now he's firmly in the East. You had that possibility of him going into the West, and with Porzingis and Doncic and Giannis, that if Dallas had pulled that off, and that's another team that had that has the financial wherewithal to keep a group like that together, with Mark Cuban as the owner, that would have been a dynasty. That would have had dynastic potential, those three. For the Nuggets, I think it's a huge bullet dodged in terms of their championship window. Huge.
Okay, so I agree. I mean, if you put Giannis with Doncic, the Nuggets window has closed.
Yeah, they're basically playing for second place in the West, and you're basically hoping to get to the conference finals and for an injury to strike the Mavs at that point, because that trio, they're winning championships, plural.
Right. No, I agree with you there. Now, you look at a guy like LeBron. I think LeBron's situation was different.
Yeah.
You and I have had this conversation about he went from Cleveland to Miami. The Cavs weren't doing anything to help him. They just weren't. Listen, the Chicago Bulls helped out Michael Jordan with Scottie Pippen. What did the first go around? What did the Cavs do for LeBron? Nothing. Now, second go around in Cleveland, they helped him out with Kevin Love because they already had Kyrie Irving, right? I don't blame LeBron for leaving. Not one bit. Now, when you look at Kevin Durant jumping to Golden State, that's a guy chasing a championship. Far more than LeBron James. You could make the case for Kyrie Irving. He jumped to the Nets, right? Was he with the Nets? Was it Durant with the Nets first and then Irving followed? Is that right?
I believe so. I believe KD went first.
Okay.
Even though when they signed him, it was basically saying, all right, we're punting this year, but but 2020, 2021, we're ready to go with this core.
Okay. And then you have Anthony Davis. Couldn't win in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
He joined LeBron James. Okay. LeBron went to a crappy team hoping to get players to go with him.
And obviously it's LA. I mean, it's not like he tried to, with all respect to Portland, a wonderful town, he wasn't trying to do this in Portland. He did it in L.A., where he knew that it was going to be an attractive market, an attractive situation. Basically, the places to pull that off, if you're LeBron, were L.A., either the Clippers or the Lakers, or Miami. And he's already done Miami.
Right. So, what does it say about Giannis that he's not pulling a star move?
Well,
where a lot of guys do, he decided not to.
I think I'm going to admit that you were right about LeBron James.
What?
And his perspective. I know. I'm just admitting you're right all week.
Wow.
Because
something.
I've thought about what you said about LeBron and and what Cleveland did or did not do for him. And when the Bucks made the deal for Jrue Holiday, getting him from the Pelicans a few weeks ago, they napalmed their draft capital for the next 4 years, basically. They sent three future first-round picks. There are a couple of other pick swaps involved. And we talked about it on this station, and what we said was that this is the move that basically says to Giannis, okay, as a franchise, we are all in. This is showing you that we are trying to get you a championship, and we will do whatever it takes. We're focused on the now. We're focused on you,
right,
getting and making this the best possible situation. And Giannis has said over and over, he's very comfortable in Milwaukee. Of course, he came from Greece. Milwaukee has embraced him. Maybe he's not a guy that's an LA or New York type. He's more of a Milwaukee kind of guy. But they had to show him something, show him that commitment. And that trade for Holiday is the kind of thing that we didn't really see the Cavs do for LeBron.
They didn't do it all.
Right.
They did nothing for him.
And that's
second go-around, right, they did.
And that's
first go-around, they didn't.
And that's I think is the big difference here. They showed that they, in Milwaukee, the Bucks showed, we're all in. And this is the reward. The Bucks bet on themselves. And it paid off. And now, I would be surprised if they don't win a championship in the next 4 years. I think they'll get their title. Yep. Maybe not this year, but I think they'll get their title.
Well, listen, if Durant returns to form, I'm not a big fan of Kyrie.
Right.
But if Durant returns to form, and then, I think you have two really good players in Philadelphia, and then you look at the West.
Yeah.
Right? Somehow, some way, Mark Cuban's going to find a way to bring somebody in to play with Doncic. I have very little doubt that in the next 4 years, somebody big is going to be playing there.
I would say, and that's one reason why I would say I think the Bucks' best shot here is in the next 3 years.
I mean, listen, I like Middleton.
Yeah.
And Jrue Holiday is a nice player.
He's a good compliment to Giannis.
Here.
Should be an excellent compliment.
Here's one way to put it. Chris Middleton is to Giannis what Pau Gasol was to Kobe. Really good, mm-hmm. Not great. Not like Pippen to Jordan. Not like Magic to Kareem, right?
Could Jrue Holiday, though, be the Pippen to Giannis's Jordan?
No. Pippen's a Hall of Famer. One of the most, it's going to sound nuts. Coming from me, granted, I grew up watching the Bulls.
Right.
Scottie Pippen is one of the most underrated players in NBA history. Now, could he do it on his own? I don't think so. But you'd be hard-pressed to find a better Robin than him because he had such a great all-around game. Guy's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Jrue Holiday is going to the Hall of Fame with a ticket. And same thing with Middleton. That's how they're getting into the Hall of Fame.
But this is also a case where sometimes you do have that star that can elevate. Even though Holiday.
Look at Toronto.
Toronto.
Yeah. Toronto had Kawhi and a bunch of really good players. So can it be done? Of course it can be done.
And Giannis is still young enough, even though he's got a couple of MVPs already in his back pocket, he's still young enough to where his best play could still be to come.
No question. I've no doubt about that at all.
I mean, being a two-time MVP, I mean, it's legit.
Yeah.
He deserved it.
What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
Can you believe it? The NBA season is only a week away, so we will stick with the NBA and talk a little bit about CBS Sports, who ranked the top 15 point guards in the NBA. Jamal Murray was on the list. We'll tell you where after the break on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Christmas is coming up, and I'm set. Doing a big family dinner, and I'm getting a prime rib from Mile High Meats, and I cannot wait. Want to bring in my guy, Dr. Ryan Tuchscher from 5280 Cryo and Recovery Clinic. He also has been in a family business that does cattle ranching, and that's 5280, or I should say Mile High Meats. And you can find them at milehighmeats.com. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, guys. How we doing?
All right, so are you running out of prime rib? I mean, I'm only taking 7 pounds. How much do you have left?
You know, we've got still a few left for order here in town, or getting shipped out by Monday. But yeah, we are getting close down to final stock of inventory on that. Those have sold out pretty quickly this year.
Okay. I'm going to ask you something that I think a lot of people would ask. Okay? So your prime rib, I know, is going to be fantastic because I've eaten the other meats there. Okay? They have huge sales at the big supermarkets for prime rib around Christmas. Yours is going to be more. I think it's worth more. But why is it worth that much more?
You know, it all goes back into what we put into it, how we raise it. When you go to the big supermarkets, you're going to get a piece of meat. Typically, that animal's been standing around in a feedlot. It's been pumped full of hormones and antibiotics because they get sick. Just think about it. You're, you know, congregating a bunch of people. You get sick, right? So for us, we raise all our animals out on wide open pastures. We don't give them hormones. We don't give them antibiotics. It takes a little longer to raise them and a lot more, you know, dollars go into raising them that way, but in the end, it's a better product, and it's just a healthier, cleaner product. It's better for you, and that's really what the prime rib is going to be about.
What other things do you have to offer? I mean, yeah. I know you do more than just prime rib. I know you do salmon too.
Yeah, we do. Actually, we just had MPJ in today getting his salmon. I actually put him to work filling some boxes today.
Did you really?
So I did. I put him to work. I'm like, you're going to get some treatment. We're going to put you to work on filling some boxes out of the
office. He didn't hurt himself, did he?
No.
Seriously? I mean, Brian, I can tell you right now, if for some reason MPJ gets hurt filling boxes, if you thought the protests outside the Michigan Capitol in Lansing were bad, at 5280 Cryo, you're not going to be able to get your car in the parking lot.
Yeah, the salmon that we have, we bring it in from Norway once again. That's why guys like MPJ, Phil Heath, Mr. Olympic.
You know what? I think we might have a bad connection, Ryan. I think we might lose you. If we can, let's see if we can just squeeze in milehighmeats.com. What kind of special do you have for our listeners?
Yeah, 20. Right now, enter in Mile High Radio for that special, and we've got a lot of other specials on the website. Just go to the website, milehighmeats.com.
Is that 20 or 25%?
25.
My man. All right, and I will see you next week. I can't believe I'm saying this to another guy to pick up your meat.
Sounds good. We'll see you guys.
See you, pal. All right, time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Revive Performance for Men. If you've lost your confidence in the bedroom because of erectile dysfunction, get what you want so you can give her what she wants. Go to rpm-colorado.com. Just in case you missed it,
presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it ahead of this NBA season, CBSSports.com has ranked the top 15 point guards in the NBA.
Saw that.
Jamal Murray made the list, and he's right in the middle at number 6. So yep. The list goes Steph Curry at 1, then Luka Doncic, Damian Lillard, Chris Paul, Ben Simmons, and then Jamal Murray. And he's one spot ahead of Kyrie Irving. Thoughts on this ranking at number 6 for Jamal Murray as far as best point guards in the NBA?
You can argue he should be ahead of Chris Paul because of youth. But Chris Paul throwing the leadership, throwing the defense, throwing everything, you can make an argument for Chris Paul to be ahead of him. You could also make an argument for Ben Simmons because he is a better all-around player. Once again, for Jamal Murray, it's going to be about consistency. And if he is consistent this upcoming season, he will easily move up to number 4 on that list. It won't be hard to do. It'll be easy for him if he does that this season, become more consistent.
Pass both Simmons and Paul.
Absolutely.
Okay.
If he becomes
right.
more, if he becomes 22, 23 points a game, he's not throwing in those 10-point games.
Yeah, I can't see him getting any higher in the short, intermediate term just because Curry, Doncic, Lillard, it's going to be 1, 2, 3. I think the question is whether Doncic moves up from 2 to 1 on this list and passes Curry. But I don't think Curry's going to drop far enough to where you're talking about Jamal Murray surpassing him on this sort of list.
Right.
Just in case you missed it, a shootout last night in Monday Night Football as the Ravens beat the Browns 47-42. Some late game heroics from Lamar Jackson as he returned from the locker room after dealing with some cramps. What is your biggest takeaway from last night's game between the Ravens and Browns?
Vegas always wins, don't they? They always win. The spread was 3 to 3.5. It was a 3-point game. At 45-42, yeah. And then the Browns trying to make something happen with a crazy kickoff return, and it turns into a safety. That's all I thought.
And the hilarious thing is, according to a story on ESPN.com, the vice president of trading for BetMGM said, quote, "In the last 2 hours before kickoff, we took significant money on the Browns when we went to 3.5.
Right. You know what it was? It was a sucker bet.
Yeah.
The Browns, 2 games better going into that game.
Yep.
Playing at home. Browns are playing well. And you look at a bet like that and you think to yourself, you know what? There's something going on here. Vegas must know something. And while I don't think they were predicting a safety at the end of the game, the house always wins, or usually wins. Usually.
It just happened in a way that I don't think anyone could have projected. I think you thought it might happen the way it looked like it was going when the Ravens took the lead 42-35 on Lamar Jackson's touchdown run. But then Baker Mayfield, who, even though it was a loss, acquitted himself very well, overcoming one interception, marched the Browns downfield lickety-split to a touchdown of their own. But Cleveland's defense, my goodness, the last 3 games, give up 25 to the Jaguars, 35 to the Titans, 47 to Baltimore. They've got the Giants and Jets coming up, so the Browns are going to certainly win 1. I think they would expect to win 2 and be sitting there at 11-5, but that defense is going to ensure that they go nowhere. And, you know, the Ravens have some defensive concerns of their own, although based on their previous performances, not quite as consistently bad as the Browns. More likely that it was an outlier. By the way, you see our old friend Devontae Harris out there for the Ravens last night? Former Bronco cornerback?
Have you seen
our
old friend Isaac Yiadom play without a Broncos uniform on?
Yeah, our old friend Isaac Yiadom is actually playing pretty
well
for the Giants.
That's my point. He's playing very well.
Devontae Harris last night was getting picked on by the Browns and Baker Mayfield. He was not playing very well.
And Yiadom is playing very well.
Yes.
Really well. Like Isaiah McKenzie's playing pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, that was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, try before you buy. You can walk into any of their stores and try out their appliances before you buy them. They have a really experienced sales staff. They can help you find something to fit your budget, something high-end. They can help you design a whole kitchen. Go to Mountain High Appliance. You can find them in Louisville, Littleton, or you can go to their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, is Saturday's game against the Bills a litmus test for Drew Lock? We throw out the term litmus test quite a bit, but you know what? In this case, I really think it is, for a lot of reasons. That's next.